You're listening to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. In this podcast, you'll hear the audio from one of our live discussions. Please join the discussion at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Only other thing I was going to ask, and this isn't as strongly tied to archaeology per se, but I might be a little bit. What do you do with like the handful of kind of questionable things that you know, are said, or at least they're commonly brought up in terms of objections to like certain aspects of reliability? Like, you know, one of the most well-known ones is probably like the census Quirinius, right? And I know there's inscriptions and stuff that may imply different things, but a lot of it seems kind of speculative. But, you know, in the short run where the Gospel of Luke says that there was a census done by Quirinius, who's governor of Syria, which would have dated to 680, but he still places the birth of Jesus in the time of Herod the Great, which would have been about 4 BC or earlier. And so like either Luke is moving the census prematurely, or maybe he's talking about a different one, or he may have just gotten the time wrong, or he could be talking about a different governor. There's a lot of different kind of speculations, but as far as my understanding, there isn't like a hard consensus in terms of what exactly Luke means here or what the solution is if he didn't get that. So is there anything in archaeology or text that like may lend credence to that either way? Or is that kind of one of those where you just have to speculate because we're not really sure what the solution could be there?
No, there's actually a couple of solutions to that. And while I'm looking for it, I'm trying to find my notes on it. But one of the things is you look at the track record of people who have had, you know, that when they're, I mean, obviously people have questions and that's okay to have questions about, you know, certain texts in the scripture, certain events in the scripture. I mean, that's what I live. I live for that. I actually kind of like mysteries. I like when things kind of can't be answered because I want to find the answer. But one of the things I have discovered from studying archaeology for 23 years is that those things sometimes are, you know, some artifact is discovered to really show that, oh, guess what? The New Testament was right after all. So let's see here. Let me find the article on it. Actually, I have an article on it on the census. And in fact, if you want, Matt, I can send you the link to the article for folks if they want to look at it. Yeah, it's actually on epicarchaeology.org, but I just actually changed servers, so I'm slowly filling in some of my old articles because some of the things didn't transfer that well. So give me one second here. Let me find it because I knew I had it. It's specifically on the census, and I wanted to – because there's actually been some discoveries that have been made in Rome about this – oh, here it is right here. I found it. So let me find you – okay, so – the question is, was there a census of Quirinius during the time of Augustus before Christ was born? The simple answer is yes. So commonly held assumption that the decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, that is all the Roman world, should be taxed, was a single census or a single event in the Roman Empire. The question is this how Luke understood it or intended it to be understood? According to historian Harold Honer, what is meant is that censuses were taken in different times in different provinces, Augustus being the first one in history to order a census or tax assessment of a whole provincial empire. This is further substantiated by the fact that Luke uses the present tense, indicating that Augustus ordered censuses to be taken regularly rather than one time. Furthermore, New Testament historian Jack Finnegan says, as to the taking of an enrollment in general, it is known from discoveries among Egyptian papyri that a Roman census was taken in Egypt and therefore perhaps throughout the empire regularly every 14 years. Many actual census returns have been found, and they use the very same word, which is used in Luke chapter 2, verse 2, he used for enrollment. The specific census that Luke mentions is the first one that took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And according to Josephus' references to Quirinius in the Antiquities of the Jews, it does pose some of it a problem because he informs us that taxes conducted by Quirinius while he was governing Syria were made in the 37th year of Caesar's victory over Mark Antony at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. So this would make the census take place in about 6 or 7 AD, which is a date too late to be brought into alignment with the birth of Christ. So in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 2, he speaks of a census which first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So it's not out of the question that the census to which Josephus was referring was the second one, while Luke mentions the first one. Old Testament scholar Gleason Archer adds that Luke was well aware of the second census taken by Quirinius, which Josephus alludes to. We know this because Luke, who lived much closer to the time of Josephus, also quotes Gamaliel as having alluded to the insurrection of Judas of Galilee in the days of census taking. This is in Acts chapter 5, verse 37. One other quick thing here. In 1784, a Latin inscription was discovered near Tivoli in Italy, located 20 miles east of Rome, known as the Lapis Tiburnius inscription. And according to Jack Finnegan, it contains a statement of a high Roman official that when he became the governor of Syria, entered the office for a second time. It has even been thought that this personage very well may be Quirinius. So in other words, if this description in Tiburnius is correct, and this is actually Quirinius, then this would be direct archaeological evidence that the census took place. So I would say that although it may appear to be problematic, I think we just need more information. And I think as time goes forward, more information will be forthcoming. And I have an article. I can send you the article. It's got more details in it. And it also has sightings of articles that people can read in books if they want to dive deeper into this issue.
Yeah, thanks for that. I know there's a lot of elaboration to be done, but I do appreciate the summary.
A great question. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. If you'd like to join the discussion, please join us at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.